Please stand clear of the doors.
Hey guys, we're on the monorail heading over to Magic Kingdom. I cannot wait to go.
Multiverse reactor is unstable. Meltdown is now imminent.
Welcome to episode 253 of the Diz His Podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ryan.
I'm RJ.
Today, we're giving the history on Bambi. So, before we get to history, what you guys been up to?
Well, just watched Bambi for the first time since I was like five.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. What'd you guys, watching it when you were younger and watching it when you're older, totally different experience.
I remembered things I didn't know that I remembered.
Yeah, like
as soon as I started watching it.
Uncovered flashbacks.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I know this whole movie like by heart.
Yeah.
I remember even watching it.
Something that is also repeating itself for me from my childhood is the nostalgia that is jam-packed into the most recent episodes of X-Men 97. I don't know who's caught up.
And
who's not caught up?
I'm one behind.
Not even close.
I'm two behind or one and a half behind. I forget.
We're probably in the same area.
There was a cameo in the episode that I just watched of.
I never heard that superhero.
Somebody that was not. That's not an X-Men.
Oh.
Was it at the end?
No.
Okay. I'm the one at the end where they're talking about. I can't do it. I can't say it.
The guy that I'm talking about. Is a guy,
okay, good.
Who wears spandex.
That's all the X-Men.
He's not an X-Men.
He's not an X-Brother.
And he might hate communism.
Ronald Reagan?
Close, actually.
Walt Disney.
Margaret Thatcher?
These are all really good guesses. It's not really much of a spoiler. It was in the teasers. Captain America.
Captain America hates communism?
Okay, I saw that.
Wait,
one.
Really?
Dude, he fought against it.
He fought against the Nazis.
That's canon.
The Nazis, yeah. Fascism, though.
That's all in the same soup.
Okay, so I know which episode you're talking about because I remember watching it.
Well, if you know soup. What episode Chris is talking about and you want to talk to us about it, you want to send some information about your favorite X-Men 97 episode, send us an email at dishispod@gmail.com.
Yeah, it's surprisingly, I shouldn't say surprisingly good. It's surprisingly great. I wasn't expecting it to be like this good. I wasn't expecting to be this invested into X-Men 97. Never watched the original X-Men growing up. Like, it was just not something I ever watched. I knew of it. I know what it's about. I know what it is.
I watched a little bit of it. 35-minute video on the history of X-Men.
Did you?
And then I still have yet to watch two episodes.
This is, I'll tell you what, it's getting me really back into reading comics. I've been reading comics nonstop. Yeah. Like, I was up till 2 a.m. reading comics. I won't go too into depth about what I'm reading and bore everybody, but there's these two new, the Ultimate Universe is now back. And it's a new universe with new, the heroes are all brand new. So it's new spins on them. Captain America is, that's an Avengers Twilight, which is also another really good run. So I'm reading Ultimate Spider-Man. The Maker, which is evil version of Mr. Fantastic, came and changed the universe and got rid of heroes. So Peter Parker never got bit by the spider when he was a teenager. And now he's like 35 and finally got bit by the spider. So super different.
So he's just a boring guy for an extra 20 years?
Legit, like just a boring guy.
That's funny. Have you brought this up in our Discord server about all the comic books you're reading?
No, I haven't, and I should in case anybody else has Marvel Unlimited so they can read, because I'd love to discuss. I've been talking to Sean, Nick's husband, about it because he reads a lot of comics and he suggests comics for me to read, but haven't talked about it in the I should make a channel just for comic book talk, that just in case anybody liked it, and I'll put whatever I'm reading. I'll read like sometimes 4 or 5 issues a night just because I can't put them down. but really, really cool stuff going on in the comics world. But the X-Men 97 is really, X-Men 97 and Marvel Snap have both gotten me into comics.
Well, we have a new free trial for Patreon, right?
We do.
Okay, so perfect. So we have a new trial for Patreon. So we're going to start a new comic book section in our Discord server, which is where you get to our Goof Troop. And from there, you can get in there and talk to Chris about comic books.
And the free trial is 7 days. So if you want, you could join that free trial. Be with us for a week. That means you get to watch one of the live episodes.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
For as little as $2 a month, too, if it runs out and you accidentally forget to cancel. Or if you just love it and want to stick around. But it's for all tiers, I should state. So two to one up are all eligible for a free trial. 7 days. And if you play it right, you got to watch two free shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you could do
and,
that, yeah.
And you get that from our link tree. If you had our link tree, all of our links, you can get to, you know, from our Instagram, Facebook, YouTube channel. You can get to our link tree and get to the Patreon do that free trial if you want to do a free trial.
Hey, you know what's weird, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time ever that we've done what we did in the week of Disney type discussion to start an episode.
Yeah, we're changing things up a little bit, trying new stuff. Just kind of like freshen up the podcast a little bit.
Am I allowed to talk about what I did in Disney yet?
I mean, if you must.
I went to Bluey Live.
Oh, that's right. We saw the pictures. Right.
Yes, holy, I was going to say, I posted pictures in the Discord chat.
Dude, it was amazing.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. It was like a toddler rave party in there. It was awesome. We were playing Keepy Uppy, and there's bubbles everywhere, and it was awesome.
Sounds dangerous. Did you wear protective goggles?
No, no.
Wow.
Yeah, three kids lost eyes. It was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I heard they're coming to Orlando, so I have to definitely look into it.
See how much
I cannot afford it.
Oh, it was free for me. So
I know. I'm very jealous.
Just use your media pass.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to break that out next time. RJ, do anything this week?
Let's see. Been watching a lot more Star Wars. I finished out Rebels. Yeah. I finished How out is Rebels Solo.
Compared to
Rebels is it's Clone Wars. Not as good as Clone Wars, but it's way better than what I just started, Resistance, which is pretty god awful. Not a good time, but I'm committed now. Yeah, a lot of annoying characters, a lot of bad storylines. What else did I do? I made the conscious decision not to watch Wish, which I feel like was a good decision on my part.
Are you serious right now?
Wish was good.
Well, I decided not to watch. I'm not the world's biggest fan of animation. I'm usually not just going to go choose and watch something animated unless it's like a Star Wars thing or a Marvel thing, usually. So
we're never going to history today. You need to watch Wish. It's a really good movie. I watched it as soon as it came out. Very happy about it.
I am going to watch Melody Time this week for a video that I'm making with Dane. So that will be my animated film of the week. I'm writing a history for that. What else did I do? Jeopardy Masters is on Hulu now. So watch the first episode of that. Yeah. And then I went to a location that would have been very important to Walt Disney. He was a big fan of Abraham Lincoln, one of his heroes. So I went to Lincoln's boyhood home.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, really? Yeah. You came to my house?
Yeah, Lincoln.
Joke, inside joke there. My son's name is Lincoln.
Oh.
That's such a bad joke.
Yeah, that's what I did this week.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Wait, we both said it's awesome. It wasn't that awesome.
No,
it deserved one awesome.
It was okay.
Yeah, it deserved one awesome, but
you know, it deserved one. But you know what we strive for here in the Disney's podcast? Five. We strive for four,
at least four.
We strive for four.
No, guys, we don't strive for four. We strive for five. Like if you're not pushing yourself to be the best, like we strive for six, right? We're striving to be possible. Better than we. That's right. We're striving to be even better than we can be. Like, you can't get an A+ in a class, but you try to get an A+ and shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
I know you can get one.
Yeah. I shoot for a five, but I don't strive for it.
You got to shoot for the moon.
Shoot for the stars and hope you land on the moon? Is that the saying?
Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
I thought it was so impossible.
The moon is a lie. For a guy who got A+, you don't know science.
What do you mean I don't know science?
The moon is way closer than a star, okay? Way closer.
Absolutely. But the idea is that it's about margin of error, right?
Yes.
Because
well, you really miss the moon if you land near stars.
Well, it's all about the angle that you leave the Earth at, right? You have to leave at a very specific set of angles to reach the moon. The wider other potential angles that you could launch at would send you among the stars, not at the moon. So it's not a matter of distance, it's a matter of percentages in the quote.
All right.
How about Bambi?
Yes, how about Bambi? Before we get to Bambi, though, I do want to talk about I'm back. I don't know if listeners care, but
Geek Squad has repaired your computer.
I was just gone for an episode. And the episode was 252. We did also have the special Destination Diz, which Ryan was the main host for, bringing on Nick and Maddie. And that was a great episode.
We're all hosts. We're all equals.
Okay. Sorry. And I enjoyed the episode. Very knowledgeable. If you didn't listen to the episode because you weren't sure what it was, they just talk about traveling to Disney on vacation and what kind of where you might want to stay. And I think it's kind of like the base for it. And then every episode leading forward, probably more into different places. Or how do you plan on moving forward?
We're be covering a different travel topic every week or every episode rather.
But then you also did a lot of current events and news, which I like. Travel updates
every week or every episode. I keep on saying every week.
I love the news. Travel update
every month, and then new travel topic to go along with that.
Yeah. So if you didn't have to listen to that because you weren't sure what it was, go ahead and take a listen because it was interesting for sure. I'm definitely looking forward to listening to those every month. And those in the future, we might release them. We're going to release them as our own episodes under our feed, correct?
Yeah, they're just going to be their own thing, just released under there, probably pretty randomly for a little while.
But for the episode 252 that had Ryan and Chris and Scott was our guest on that one, they did a draft, and I listened to it. Good episode. Funny. You guys are hilarious.
Do you want to explain the King Triton thing?
I'm a little confused about that.
Triton is a god. How is he that powerful?
In the water.
He's just a god in general. How is a god?
How is he a god? He's a king, right?
He's a king.
No, he's a god.
In ancient Roman mythology, he was a demigod, as I recall, right?
He's kind of a god.
He was a buff old man.
He wasn't. I don't think he was a demigod. Hold on
one second. Broom is a god.
Broom was not a god.
Also, is he a son of Poseidon or Neptune?
He was the son of Poseidon and Amphitrite. He was a Greek god. He was not.
But Amphitrite was a sea nymph. She was a sea nymph.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what a nymph is, but it doesn't sound very powerful.
I know, right?
Anyways, so I said, okay, let me get the scraps. Let me get the scraps of what you guys didn't pick. And I'll make a team that'll beat your teams.
All right. And Alex, after this, I'd also like to hear who you thought had the best team.
Well, that would mean I remember your teams, which I don't. So, I picked Hero from Big Hero 6 because you guys are like, let's pick the marshmallow robot that didn't do anything until Hero got involved. The guy who built him armor and gave him boots for flying. Yes, let's not pick Hero, the one who made all the, helped make the suit. And make Betamax who he was.
He's just a kid. He's a kid who was almost killed by a bunch of tiny robots. Genius
who will only get smarter as he ages.
Hero is a better pick than Mr. Robinson or whatever the guy.
Hey, don't start there with Aladar.
And
then I picked Yin Sid. The sorcerer who taught Mickey everything he knew and knew more than Mickey.
I gotta hang it up.
Yin Sid was definitely the more sorcerer pick if you want to pick a sorcerer. That's for sure. And then my strong pick, I was very upset that everyone didn't pick anyone from Encanto this whole entire draft.
I know.
Storm, the power of Storm in your hands. But
it's kind of her emotions, though.
Yeah. I picked Luisa because she's strong.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great pick.
Luisa's a great, strong character.
Yeah.
And then, for my skilled fighter, I picked Robin Hood because he can shoot arrows almost just like Hawkeye. You're trying to build the Avengers. But you guys didn't do anything like building Avengers.
I picked Davy Crockett, dude.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Davy Crockett. Oh, yeah. Wears a freaking skinned hat.
Yeah. But he skinned Robin Hood and wore him as a hat.
Dude, I think Robin Hood's a great pick. You all slept on Robin Hood.
He's Especially Hawkeye, you, but he's an animal. He's Hawkeye with an even less lifespan.
Oh,
less lifespan?
Yeah, like what is it? Fox's lifespan is probably 15 years.
Hawkeye wishes he had the skill of a fox.
But would Robin Hood actually survive getting hit by a snowball?
More like fox eye, am I right?
Oh, God.
Alex, cut that.
Okay, so now that I did that, let us know if you think my team is better than Chris, Ryan's, and Scott's.
Nobody choose Merlin?
He's kind of
Merlin was going to be my pick, but I thought Yin Sid was better. But I do think Merlin was good.
He's a senile old man.
Yeah.
So are you. Like,
that's fine. I don't need to. I might be fighting crime.
Merlin would be a good pick as a sorcerer for sure. But let's talk about what we're here for. We're here to talk about Bambi, which is a 1942 film released by Disney. It was based on the 1923 novel, Bambi, A Life in the Woods. The film follows Bambi, a white-tailed deer, as he journeys through life, first a motherless fawn, eventually into a strong buck. This film did not do well at the box office, despite taking Disney over 5 years to produce. But today, Bambi is considered a Disney classic and has high praise by most film critics. So we touched a little bit on Bambi. Ryan said how it brings back memories. Chris said he hasn't seen it since he was a little kid. RJ, what did you think about Bambi before we did the topic?
I don't like it. I think it's incredibly boring. I've seen the movie. The songs are entirely forgettable. The characters are not terribly likable. The book is absolutely terrifying. I think that this is one of Disney's most overrated films. And if I had to wipe any Disney animated film out of the canon, I don't know that I would choose Chicken Little over Bambi.
Well, it's nice having you on the podcast for the last time there, RJ.
Why would Chicken Little even be in a conversation?
That's a great Chicken movie. Little's horrible.
I know. But in comparison to Bambi, Chicken Little is seeming a little bit more like Citizen Kane.
Chicken Little's a good movie. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Chicken Little's terrible.
Bad. So you don't like Bambi.
I disagree. Like I disagree with RJ to an extent. Mm. I thought it was a pretty boring movie. But I thought when that music came on about the weather spring or something.
Showers. Spring showers.
The, a gay little one. Spring song or no, Little April Shower?
Little April Showers. When that came on, I that was like very nostalgic for me.
Very much so, yeah.
So I did.
Is that when you snapped out of it? You're like, oh my God, that's it.
The music I enjoyed. I really enjoyed. I did. I enjoyed the music throughout. The characters, I think,
there's only four songs.
No, but like, even the ones without the words.
But there was a lot of music.
Yeah, like just the music throughout.
Was good. It was like old classic, I thought so. Like classic music.
Yeah, I like it's good jogging music. It's good
jogging music. Like you've jogged before. Yeah.
It's been a while.
You see someone jogging, you're like, "What's this to Bambi soundtrack?"
If you want to tell people something that sounds better, tell them that you're listening to the Diz His podcast when you're jogging.
Oh, that's true.
I have a little plug.
Thumper, one of the most iconic characters, I think. Thumper might be more popular than Bambi.
I think Bambi is just a deer, but like Thumper has a unique look to him.
Thumper is actually in the parks. You can meet Thumper.
Really?
My wife and I met Thumper in Animal Kingdom in front of the tree.
Oh, Bambi's really? Pretty scary looking, yeah. Right?
There is no Bambi, as far as I know.
I thought that there was Bambi's like in the original, like one of the original parades. They were like in like I'm probably thinking of the deer in the Christmas parade.
You could use one of those.
Terrifying. Yeah, you probably could. I forgot about Flower.
You forgot about Flower?
Yeah, I did.
So
until it popped out of the flowers, I was like a jump scare. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Kung. I forgot about this thing.
So Ryan, did Brody watch this with you?
Yeah.
Did Brody like it?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. My kids loved Bambi.
Yeah, like really? Okay. So Brody was playing with his tablet and I turned it on and he looked up and all of a sudden there's like, forget the tablet, all of that. Like he lit up and watched most of the movie.
Yeah. It's pretty stimulating. Visually, there's a lot of animals. I think that's why I liked it when I was little. A lot of animals. I don't know if you guys noticed, there's a lot of weird adult content in the movie.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into it. I don't know. You know, I don't want to say what I want to say, but like there was a lot of just like innuendos and like the emphasis on the animals mating and stuff like that.
Yeah, so the female rabbit, she was a little bit something. She was wearing makeup.
Yeah.
And she legit had makeup on. She's like pushing up everything and like
I was a little shocked by that. I was like, oh, this is not very conservative for 1940 whatever in a cartoon, but also 42. I mean, it was and then I don't want to talk too much about the movie, but just talking about adult themes. Right now I don't want to talk too much about the movie. But the adult themes, like Bambi's mom dying, okay, that's pretty bad, but then the pheasants saying, don't fly away.
That
don't
was
fly
worse
away.
Than Bambi.
I was like, oh my God.
We were watching, my daughter was like, what's happening? I was like, the humans are happening.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked rewatching it to see how dark.
Dude, that was a dark scene. That was a very dark scene.
I've seen that scene done better before.
What?
That whole idea of like the humans coming in and like messing with the fire and whatnot. Like,
Avatar?
I think Kali River Rapids does it better than Bambi.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on that.
But my kids very much liked it, so much so that we had watched it in two sections, you know, because we don't watch movies all the way
through. No, never.
Mm-mm. And we got done with Bambi and I was like, you know, there's Bambi 2. And they started chanting Bambi 2 until I put it on.
what did you watch Bambi 2?
We started it.
Is it any good? Is he a baby again or is he a man?
He's a baby again. It's when he's being raised by his dad. It's right after. Julie starts right after his mother gets killed.
So they show it again?
No, they don't show it. They just show the scene where his dad's like, she's not with us anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
So somewhere between that and when he's grown?
Yeah.
Bambi's dad's like, oh,
it's
she's
like
no longer going to be here.
So the animation's like so much newer. It's a little weird.
Bambi was a baby for a little bit too long, if you ask me.
Well, I hated him as the adult.
He was born
actually
in the spring, and then it turned winter time. Yeah. He still had his spots. He was still a baby.
Yeah.
Mom dies, and he grows up in like a month.
Yeah. Unless he was born in fall, maybe.
No, he's but no. The song is called Little April Showers.
That's true. He was born in spring. His on Bambi. Sigmund Salzmann was born in Pest, Austria-Hungary in 1869. His parents moved to Vienna only 4 weeks after he was born, after the imperial government granted full citizenship rights. Sigmund would go on to work as an insurance agent and write poems in his spare time. In 1923, Sigmund Salzmann got his book Bambi, A Life in the Woods, published by Berlin publisher Holstein Verlag. He submitted the book under the pen name Felix Salten, due to persecution of Jews in Europe at the time. Eventually, the novel did get banned and burned by Nazi Germany due to the story being thought as a parable about the treatment of Jews in Europe. An English translation by Whitaker Chambers was published in North America by Salmon and Schuster in 1928 and was well received, selling 300,000 copies by 1930. In 1933, MGM filmmaker Sidney Franklin purchased the screen rights to Salten's book with a plan to adapt it into a live-action film. But Sidney quickly realized that using an all-animal cast would be too difficult to accomplish, so he then thought he knew someone who would be able to take the story and make a film, Walt Disney. Walt Disney had already read the novel Bambi, A Life in the Woods, and thought it would be an exciting project to bring to life through animation. So later, when Franklin contacted Walt, he wholeheartedly agreed that it was something he would love to attempt. Walt Disney Studios had already animated cartoon features like Pinocchio and Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, with Snow White's film containing a scene with a deer in it. But Walt wanted to try to attempt a more lifelike animation. Production for Bambi began on August 7th, 1939, the same year that Salten published a sequel to Bambi titled Bambi's Children. Walt wanted to emphasize the importance of getting the anatomy of the animals correct, so he had a pair of fawns shipped from Maine to his studio in LA for animators to study. The studio had decided that Bambi would be a mule deer, common in North America, instead of a roe deer, which it was in the book and is common in Europe. They would name the pair Bambi and Phelan, and these up-close observations helped the animators study the animal. The studio took trips to Los Angeles Zoo to study animals and watch films of animals in the wild that were taken by Maurice J. Day. The videos and photography that was taken for the research was so inspirational to Walt, this led to the creation of the award-winning True Life Adventures series.
So before we talk about how they shipped two deer from Maine, I do want to ask you, RJ, is the book worth reading?
It's been a long time since I read it. I thought it was a little bit creepy. There's a portion where Bambi's, I think, brother gets brainwashed because he starts living with humans, and he thinks that all humans are really good when they nurse him back to health. And then he approaches humans he sees in the wild and gets immediately killed by them, and it's absolutely terrifying and will scar you. So I would not recommend reading the book.
So it's a very deep book, it sounds like.
Yeah, very deep.
It's not a kid's book, it's a...
Oh, it's a kid's book, all right.
I mean, it's a kid's book, but keep in mind that, like, kids were reading really dark stuff right back then. Yeah. Like, yeah. We've talked about Grimm's fairy tales.
That's one of my thoughts. Like, what did they do to entertain their kids back in the 40s?
Just scared them.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a war going on. Everyone was stressed.
It's like, this was pleasant compared to what the real world was.
Like, you're 5 years old. Let's go talk about slaughtering a deer with a knife.
But yes, for listeners, I would highly recommend looking at the Dumbo book and not the Bambi book for your children. Or yes. Pinocchio. Pinocchio is definitely, the Pinocchio book, as dark as it is when we talked about that a few months back, is not as dark as the Bambi book.
Yeah.
The turnaround time on the release of the book and the release of the movie is kind of really quick from what we have seen in the past. I feel like, do you guys feel that way too?
I feel like the pickup of a book, like the production of, like, let's make a movie about a book, like that book just came out, like that's, yeah, that I is feel, crazy. yeah
well, they had been working on Bambi for quite a while. I heard they started on it in like 37 when they were doing Snow White, but they kept pushing it back because he wanted it to be perfect, Walt did. So they kept pushing it back, so they kept on getting pushed back for Snow White, and it's pushed back again for Dumbo and Pinocchio and all the other ones until it finally they finished it in 42 or 41.
Yeah, and it's not that uncommon for when a book just completely takes the world by storm for movie companies to want to pick it up immediately. Like, even back in the 80s, don't forget Tom Wolfe's Bonfire of the Vanities and the mess that film was. Like, same kind of thing was happening then.
Is it time to have the conversation that Walt Disney might be a horrible, horrible producer of movies?
What? Oh, because they had so many fails in a row.
Like it seemed like every
Pinocchio kind of failed.
Yeah, it seemed like everything that he thought personally was going to be a great movie was not a great movie.
He had a lot more failures than successes, but I think those successes carried him through, like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Mary Poppins.
Yeah, but the animated movies are still new at this point. They're only a couple of years old. So
well, all movies were new.
Well, yeah, but they're still more kind of sold on the whole animated future yet.
That's true. Yeah,
and we're just
true.
Coming out of one war, World War I, and then we went into World War II. So it was still kind of.
But I mean, just like Pinocchio, it got steam later and became a classic. But so
people, yeah,
they weren't wrong. They just released it in the wrong time.
Bambi made more money overseas than it did here. Actually,
I wonder why.
Not sure.
Is it the popularity of the book?
Probably.
It never made a profit overseas.
I would argue the message is a reason why, because think about it. In the United States, hunting, I think, I haven't been to Europe, but I think hunting is a bigger part of a lot of cultures in the United States than it is in other countries. And so when you have a story that's pushing a message that hunting is bad into a society where a lot of people feel that hunting is good, there's this disconnect, I think.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, that's it's a pretty good point. I could not speak behalf on hunters in Europe, but yes, hunting culture in America, you know, the great frontier, and it's just like it was part of the culture. And yeah, that's an interesting point. That could be because it is a very bold message when you put it that way.
Well, there's a lot of backlash on it too.
Yeah.
So like there's a huge backlash by the hunting community, because there are certain people in the community that rely on hunting, especially at this time, they can't afford food, so they have to hunt for their food.
They really made
a really bad look for hunters. Like that second scene with the human in the the man in the woods, they're just shooting anything that moved at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's scarring.
And then there was another scene when they're running away from man that Thumper jumped up and took a bullet for Bambi. And as he's laying on the ground, he said, "What did I ever do to them?"
Oh my god.
Yeah, they cut it. But that's insane. Like, that's a little too on the nose.
It's crazy because, like, once you give these animals human traits like they did,
yes,
and then you start killing them, it's like that sits with people for a very long time, no matter if it's fake or not.
Can you imagine if they didn't cut that scene out of him getting shot?
Bambi did get shot, right?
They never say he did get shot, but it seemed like he
did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
these hunters aren't stormtroopers. They were hitting targets.
Everything that moved.
It seemed like he got shot, but you couldn't see anything. He just like looked injured after a gunshot. So I just assumed he got shot.
The guy who wrote the book, Sigmund Salzman, I was doing the history. I didn't add it in the history, but it's part of his history. It was stated that he was a Nazi sympathizer later in his life. Of course, it seemed like his family moved out of the area because of the Nazis, but it seemed like he was later maybe thought, you know, let's not push against them so much. And then later in life did state that he personally had killed hundreds of deer in his life.
Why did he write the book then?
Did you think he felt bad?
Do you think he's just taunting them? He's just taunting them.
It's an old man. He wrote the book as a young guy.
So weird.
I don't like this.
That is so strange.
You guys know what this movie reminds me of? Another Disney movie that it reminds me of?
Bambi 2.
It reminds me of another animated Disney movie that I also really don't care for. The Jungle Fox Book. And the Hound.
Oh,
I love The Fox and the Hound.
See, I think for me, it's a story that just takes place in a random forest, no magical elements, I don't find it terribly engaging for me personally.
The initial plan was to release Bambi after Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which was released in 1937. Production was pushed back, making Bambi the sixth feature-length film released by Disney. In 1938, Disney assigned Pierce Pierce and Carl Falberg to put together a storyboard for Bambi, but the studio decided to switch focus on Fantasia. On August 17, 1939, production for Bambi began, but Walt understood the difficulties of the project, so the team assigned to Bambi understood that they were to take their time in order to produce a high-caliber product. Walt assigned Milt Kahl, Frank Thomas and Eric Larson as supervising animators in order to have some experience in charge of a tough task. During production, Chinese-American artist Tyrus Wong was an in-betweener for Pinocchio, but after he submitted pastel drawings, Walt and others decided he was in the wrong department. He was then put on the Bambi team to use his amazing East Asian ink painting technique to create portraits of the forest for the film. Tyrus Wong would go on to become one of the most influential Asian-American artists of the 20th century. Retta Scott, another Disney legend, was discovered by Walt from her panther-inspired sketches of dogs. Once Walt saw these, he promoted Retta to become the first female animator at Disney. Walt later added Ollie Johnson to the supervising team, and Ollie was the one who discovered Mark Davis. Mark had come on to Disney as an expert animal artist and worked on Bambi, Thumper, and Flower. Davis studied a book on the behaviors of babies and used those for the facial expressions of Bambi. This was a turning point for the team. The team wanted to capture the magic of Snow White by having six individual bunny characters, but Pierce decided that instead they should have five generic bunnies, with the sixth one differing from the rest. This became Thumper, who would become an iconic piece of the film with his one large tooth and distinctive personality. There were many scenes that were developed but later removed due to it not fitting the theme of the film, like Bambi's mom dying on screen, the man who lit the fire being burned alive by the chaos he created.
Well, first off, I think you were talking about Tyrus Wong. I'd like to wish everybody listening a happy Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, as I recall. So I think it's really cool that we get to recognize Tyrus Wong during that.
Yeah, we planned it that way.
So we bashed the movie enough in the first paragraph.
I didn't bash anything.
Oh, we talked about how weird and stuff it was. Let's talk about some of the art by Tyrus Wong.
So that opening scene, the multiplane camera,
dude, yeah. I said Christina, are you looking at this? She goes, yeah. I go, look at this. It looks amazing.
Would you look at this? Would you just look at it?
And my daughter goes, it looks like it's painted. I said, because it was painted.
It was painted.
Yeah. Because it was drawn by people on paper, whatever they drew on. It was drawn by hand. It's not animation. It wasn't done on computers. It was done by people's hands. It was drawn.
That and the snowing scene right after Bambi's mom.
Yeah,
that's another great use of that multi-plane camera.
Dude, you can see the layers. So good.
It's really, really cool.
I don't think modern animation can pull that off the way that that does.
No, the way it actually looks like, it looks real depth. Yes. No.
It's more, because it's more art than it is.
It's actual depth.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh man, just what? I think we talked about this when we talked about the multi-plane camera before, but I'm sure, like, if you're scrolling through social media, I find this video like once a month, I feel like, how the multi-plane camera is used. And it's such a cool contraption that was created to be able to capture those. And it's watching the movie, you'd never think that it's a literal video camera over multiple panes, unless you know that it's called a multi-pane camera. But it's really cool that, like, they were able to use that technology so early into filmmaking.
Yeah, definitely showed how I don't know if advanced would be the word, but just how good that team was.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the flip side of that, the dogs in that one scene that Phelan was running from the dog.
Oh my god, yes. The dogs.
They were the worst looking dogs I have ever seen. I ran from them too, because they're so ugly.
They have like black eyes.
So my wife said something about that. She's like, why are they so ugly? And I told her, I said, at the time they were doing what was called apprenticeship and master. So the masters were doing the main scenes and the main characters. So what I think is the dogs were done by one of the apprentices. To one of the masters.
It's a good theory.
And I don't think they did a real great job at it.
They had a lot of different, like, they definitely had a lot of weird shapes to their heads and stuff.
They're definitely animated differently than, say, Fabling and Bambi.
But
were.
Also, you don't want a protagonist to be look as good as one of the main characters. And the dogs were definitely.
Well, I think that's one of the genius things about Bambi. The fact that the main villains are off screen the entire
time. Never
see
them.
Anybody who's seen something like Stagecoach from 1939 or Jaws or Steven Spielberg, you've got these villains, whether they're, I think it's the Apaches in Stagecoach, as I recall. I could be wrong on that. And obviously the shark in Jaws, off screen the entire time. It's certainly about the actions of the villain, but it's also about their foreboding presence. And that's one of the things that Bambi does very well.
Yeah, with Jaws, right. He was off screen most of the time because it didn't work.
Yeah. That was such a good choice. It was not
like,
choice.
Oh, we're just going to do it this way.
And that's talking Universal. So the off screen villain is done, is it not done a lot? But when it's done right, is so menacing. And having the you know, you don't see him, but you hear all the gunshots and you see all the turmoil. It's just so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's I love when movies are able to pull that off. And RJ, you're 100% right. That's Bambi does that so well.
Well, let's your imagination kind of picture what this villain's gonna look like or whatever. And you don't have to, like, you know, they don't show him on screen, so it's not like, oh, that's what he looks like. It's all right in your head. It could be as fine as you want him to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you never see the villain, you never know when chaos is going to ensue. Yeah. And that's why, so you're kind of on the edge of your seat.
Another scene that was decided against was a scene with two leaves talking as an old married couple until they fall and land near each other. But Walt didn't think this fit in the context of the film. Bambi did not have a lot of dialogue, only having 950 total words spoken. The production team wanted the action and music to carry the film. Child actor Donnie Dunnigan voiced Bambi, while seasoned actor Will Wright, the most recognizable voice in the film, voiced Friend Owl. Peter Benn was selected to voice Thumper. The production was not sure what to do with his performance at first due to being very offbeat. Eric Larson, Disney animator, said that once the team started to draw Thumper for the odd performance they felt, the character of Thumper started to shine through. Walt Disney was still very much involved in the project, even near the end. The movie has multiple scenes where a group of characters are laughing, and Walt knew this would be hard to capture unnaturally. So Walt hosted a screening of Mickey Mouse cartoons and invited all the child actors. He then recorded their laughter so he could use it for the movie. Production ended in August of 1942, with the cost of production growing to $1.7 million. Unfortunately for Bambi, it was released on August 21, 1942, which meant it was released during World War II. This meant that the amount of international sales was affected deeply. The movie would go on to make $1.2 million while also getting mixed reviews from critics. Despite the mixed reviews, Bambi did earn 3 Academy Award nominations: Best Sound, Best Song, and Original Music Score. Bambi would be re-released in 1957, earning twice the amount as it initially did on its original release. The film would also be re-released in 1966, 1975, 1982, and 1988, making $267 million worldwide in total. In 1989, Bambi was initially released for Betamax, Laserdisc, and VHS. 2007 was when Bambi was released as a Platinum Edition DVD and Blu-ray. In 2008, the American Film Institute listed Bambi as a top 10 animated film, and in 2011, it was added to the National Film Registry for the Library of Congress. Disney did announce plans for a photorealistic remake of Bambi in January 2020, but since then, not many updates have been issued by Disney.
It's cute that Walt Disney invited the kids, the child actors, to laugh at, you know, Disney cartoons. But you really think, like, I think, like, in the back of his mind, he's like, how do I can, like, make these kids work without paying them?
I guess so. Yeah, after hours.
Well, like, he recorded them and then didn't have to pay their hourly wage.
Where are you going, Chris? Where are you going?
I just think it's pretty ingenious, and maybe that's why Walt Disney operates the way they do today.
And of course, I didn't mention Bambi 2, but we all know that there was a sequel made in like 2002, I think, or 2000. I think it was, oh, no, 2006. 2006, it was released, Bambi 2, which we already talked about.
Had to sell more Bambi merch.
Yeah. I can't wait to finish it. Got to finish it.
So
called it like something more exciting than just Bambi 2, like 2 Bambi 2 Furious or something. Could we just make a series of sequels? It's just like, it's Carmen Sandiego, but it's like, where in the world is Bambi? There's a Bambi movie for like Bambi being in every country.
I think it's a brilliant idea because deer are native to most countries. So it would make sense. Uh-huh. And we never talked about this in in the initial after History 1, but 2 deer were shipped from Maine to California. So you could just ship Bambi
Operation
anywhere.
And you know Bambi what? Drop. I tried to figure out wrong information. I was like, Maine to California? No way. Did they have a building in East Coast that they were doing stuff from? And I could not find any information saying that's not what happened.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's deer on the West Coast.
Yeah.
like, did they have to do it? I think they're just like, we have like so much extra money in the budget. You want to just ship 2 deer from Maine? See how far? It's literally the furthest place they could have shipped them.
They're like Moana. It's how far they'll go.
And then they just open the door and let them run out. And they're like, all right, bye. See you.
Do you think like the higher, you think the higher ups, like as a joke, said to an intern, be like, hey, find me 2 deer from Maine. And then the guy was like, they did it. And
okay. Like, they're being shipped. Sure. They are, kid. Yeah, sure. They are.
Okay.
So the voice of Feline was Cammie King. So Cammie King played the little girl in Gone with the Wind.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if you watch Gone with the Wind, and if you listen to it, you'll definitely notice it's the same person. Besides that, she didn't do anything else. She even says, I peaked when I was 6. Oh, she did.
That's so funny.
Being a baby's mom. I was very shocked when I went to go see what time it was, and the movie was halfway over.
Yes, I agree.
I thought it was in the first 5 minutes.
My wife and I said the same thing. We're like, what's going on? It's taking forever for this to happen.
Yeah.
The movie's halfway over when it occurs.
It's like the Mandela effect.
It's the turning point.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure.
Let's talk about Bambi's dad.
Yeah,
he
just
was kind of a deadbeat. Like, I like that. In the beginning of the movie, Bambi's born. He's like standing up on a mountain looking down, like, hey, it's all right. I'm going to be up here. And then, like, at the end of the movie, Bambi's up there beating the deadbeat dad, staring down. He's like, oh, yeah, kids look good.
So in Bambi 2, they actually talk about this because Bambi's like, why are we down there with the other deer? And he goes, it's easier up here to watch over everyone and make sure danger isn't coming.
Oh, he did a great job.
Oh, yeah, good job. You watch him from my ivory tower.
was his dad the self-proclaimed Prince of the Wood, or was he elected? Yes. Or?
So I think he was elected on.
I think the biggest antlers means you win. Because
everyone's like, yeah, sure, you can do it.
He has the biggest antlers of everybody. You get to do it.
I guess
there are
so.
Other bucks. We saw tons of them.
Yeah. It's like he's like, all right, you know,
terrible.
But they said he lived the longest life. He knew the most, so he was like the oldest deer.
Yeah, of course he lived the longest life. He was hiding up on top of a mountain. You may be Prince of the Woods. You're only
watching
he stayed
over
up
everyone.
There until Bambi's mom died, and then he's like, I guess I gotta watch the kid now.
Your only
like
task,
Scott, isn't he?
Your only task is to keep your wife and child safe. And he did for a little bit. I mean, I do think she lived a pretty long way. You know what I didn't understand too is they didn't have to go into that meadow that one time.
The first time?
You have to be very careful in the meadow.
Like, yeah, my wife's like, don't why go. Did they go to the meadow?
Yeah,
like,
then just don't go.
I guess there's better food there, maybe?
Send Bumper out there.
Yeah, and Bambi almost got his mom and dad killed in the beginning part when they're in the meadow because he's like standing super reckless. There and everybody's
you mean he looked like deer in headlights?
Yes. Run, Bambi. Jeez.
Yeah, very reckless. Bambi was very reckless.
Bambi in the book was actually way cooler. He fought not one but two deer.
Oh.
Tag team match or?
He battled and defeated Karis and Rano.
Ah, Rano. Did you know Flower was a boy?
When Flower talked as an adult, my daughter goes, Flower's a boy?
I said the same thing. I said,
trust me, I'm also very shocked. Especially when Flower's like, you can call me a flower if you want to.
Very feminine.
Like, wow.
Very feminine characteristics.
He's very flirty in the beginning.
Quick fire, quick facts.
Let's go. Despite being a children's film, Stephen King calls Bambi the first horror movie he ever saw. Man received the number 20th spot on American Film Institute's list of top 100 villains.
You think that would be correct? It's the first horror movie? Like we said, that quail scene is pretty dark.
That is true. That
Dark movie. It was a dark, whimsical movie, but it was a dark movie for sure. And as a child, I would consider that a horror movie. Stephen King's also deranged. I think
Pinocchio is more of a horror movie.
Pinocchio is actually equally as terrifying. I always thought I was going to turn into a wooden boy.
Oh, that's terrifying.
What if Bambi was a wooden boy?
Then it would be the ultimate horror film.
On August 18th, 2023, Bambi was re-released across the UK for 1 week as part of Disney's 100th anniversary.
In 1944, Bambi was used by USDA Forest Service for a forest fire prevention campaign. After the year was up, USDA would go on to create Smokey the Bear as a replacement. In 2006 and 2010, Bambi was seen again in USDA Forest Service ads.
Be cool.
December 17th, 2018, prison sentence for a man who garnered the biggest deer poaching case in Missouri history contained a stipulation that he must view the film Bambi once a month during his one-year prison sentence.
Wow. I think that's ingenious by the judge.
That is great. I love that.
But he was tired of it by the time. He's like, God, I gotta watch this crap again.
Probably liked it.
I think he numbs you to it at a certain point.
He's just singing April Showers all the time.
Paul McCartney credited the shooting of Bambi's mother as the reason he got interested in animal rights.
Bambi made an appearance in an animated TV series, The House of Mouse. You can also see Bambi along with Thumper and Hailing in the Kingdom Hearts video games.
During production, animators developed a squirrel and chipmunk duo reminiscent of Laurel and Hardy, but Walt decided against the characters having a large role, so they were only seen briefly in the film.
Live-action adaptations of Bambi were made in Russia in 1985, a ballet adaptation in 1987, and a stage production in 1998.
How did they do live-action Bambi?
I want to get a hold of that. I want to get a hold of that.
In 85, yeah, that's crazy.
In 85.
And it's not American 85, it's Russian 85.
Yeah, it's Russian 85.
That is a huge difference, actually. Sidney Franklin, who purchased the rights to the novel, was contracted as a consultant for 3.5 years. But despite his contract being up, he helped with the film until 1942 because of his friendship with Walt.
I'll just keep working for you for free.
he's like, how do I talk to him about, like, I should keep getting paid? And, like, yeah. Just don't bring it up.
He just doesn't bring it up for however many years that was. Mark Davis, Disney legend, was mistakenly credited as Frazier Davis in the credits of Bambi. Frazier is Mark's middle name. Wow, typo.
Yeah, that's a big typo.
He was really saying cheers
to
that. Who
the hell's Frazier?
he's like telling all his friends, like, I animated this movie Bambi. Like, sure you did, Mark.
Sure you did. Frazier did. After its radio show.
We hear dismissing that Bambi is a beloved Disney animation, despite many people's distaste for the dark aspects of the film. Bambi shows how a well-crafted story with amazing graphics can transcend time and allow a film to be re-released over and over to even better success. Sandpiper Vacations is an amazing booking agency. They can book your dream Disney vacation in Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruises, and Disney Resorts. They also do non-Disney trips like trips to Universal, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, Royal Caribbean, Virgin Voyages, Carnival, and even more. The most amazing part is it doesn't cost you anything extra. Just head over to sandpipervacations.com and click and get a quote.
That's right. At Sandpiper Vacations, we're here not just to book your vacation, but to give you some expert tips and advice to make your trip extra special, to create those magical memories for you, your family, your friends, or whoever you want to take on that vacation.
Take a look at Sandpiper Vacations on Instagram and TikTok, and visit our Facebook page, Sandpiper Vacations. That's Sandpiper Vacations, a concierge-style travel agency with endless capabilities.
Howdy, RJ here. If you enjoy the deep dives into Disney history that you hear here on DizHiz, the Disney History Podcast, then you can go ahead and check out my show, Cases of Continuity, streaming on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I take an entire season to deep dive into some of the most iconic film, television, and book series of all time. Episode by episode, piece by piece, to look at the history behind each of those individual installments and the stories inside those and how those stories connect to the rest of the franchises. My first season on the James Bond films is currently streaming, and season two is going to be starting up in 2024. I hope to see you there at Cases of Continuity.
Do you find yourself missing Disney? Do you hum Disney songs even though no Disney music is playing? Do you wish you had more Disney friends you could talk to? Then you may be suffering from low D, also known as lack of Disney. Over 5 billion people are self-diagnosed every year with low D, but now there's help with the DizHiz Patreon, better known as the Goof Troop. As seen in Better Homes and Gardens, you can find DizHiz Patreon through the Linktree located in the episode description. Some people who have joined the DizHiz Patreon have seen increased levels of Disney knowledge, increased their numbers of Disney friends, felt more laughter, played more Disney game nights, even found true love. Results may vary. This is Patreon, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results may vary based on Patreon's care level. If you're allergic to disease or any of its components, stop using immediately and contact Universal Studios. DizHiz, a Disney history podcast.
So we talked a little bit about Russian Bambi live action 1985. So I found it's called Bambi's Childhood. And here's the plot as per Wikipedia. The film tells about a deer named Bambi, who from birth learns to understand the mysterious forest world. Life seems beautiful to him until suddenly his mother dies. That's the plot.
That's everybody in Russia.
That's the plot. I'm pretty sure they have just actors playing the deer.
Like dressed up?
Barely. And then here's an article, a headline on weirduniverse.net. Bambi killed. Soviet drunken Russians eat Bambi. Oh. Wait, I'm sorry, we have to read this. In one of the most disgusting acts ever committed, two drunk Russians slaughtered and ate three helpless fawns playing the roles of Bambi and his friends on a Soviet movie set. Oh my god. This is from the movie. The shocking crime was revealed in the Soviet newspaper Rural Life, which described the culprits as notorious freeloaders who staggered onto the movie set and stole the fawns that were devoured in a birthday feast.
Oh my god.
Police in Crimean city of Simferopol were called to the set where the Yalta Film Studio was filming Bambi's Childhood last November because someone had stolen three of the four fawns being used in the film, the paper said. Police later arrested Marinovsky, 40, and something else, and charged him with stealing the animals and slaughtering them, in quotes, to celebrate a birthday feast for Inkinov, the paper said. He was sentenced to 6 years of hard labor, while Marinov was given 4 years in... quotes, general regime labor camp.
God.
Labor camp.
Some harsh consequences. Next week on DizHiz, we'll be going over the history for Crush's Coaster. It was the second coaster in a Disney park to have the ride vehicle spin. So I know this episode wasn't a normal DizHiz episode because we're going to try some stuff moving forward. Change it up a bit, right, Chris?
Freshen things up. Yes, Alex. Yeah, freshen things up. And we have some really exciting news to share with you guys in the coming weeks. So please stay tuned to the episodes, of course, but also to our social media, where strange things are happening, Alex, to unexplainable things.
And if you want to get the news before it comes on our episodes or before we reveal it when it happens, you know, you can always join our Patreon. We do have the free subscription now that you can be a part of for the trial. And it is as little as $2 a month to be a patron. So it's not that expensive, I don't think. Even me, I don't think $2 is that much a month.
How much do you pay a month right now?
Patreon?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny you should say that, Alex, because the Patreon members, in fact, do already know everything that we are hinting at. So if you want to get the news, literally, when you're hearing this, join our Patreon. It's all on there.
Yep. And, you know, head over to social media, interact with us, head over to YouTube. I know we said we're going to go live for our first episode every month. This is our first episode of April that we're recording. That is
May
of May that we're recording. But we did not go live. We just had a lot of stuff going on.
And Alex, I know that your computer, even though it's starting to be fixed, there's still a bit of a virus that's opening. I don't know. It seems to be doing some strange things. Maybe we'll have to investigate that in the coming weeks.
Yeah, there's been some strange things that are unexplainable that we don't want to really talk too much about yet. But some strange things are going on the Diz His podcast, and we're trying very hard to contain them.
It's out of this world. Well, that was His on Bambi. I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
You can call me Flower if you want to.
And I'm RJ.
Thanks for listening and have a magical week.